Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what happened on our morning show. How's it going? Thanks for having the podcast on the thing that you listen to podcasts on.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. The Top 5 Things podcast is brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
And their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options might work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered if you go to the website. That's ntillinois.com.
This is number one.
Number one.
Number one.
It's Wednesday, June the 30th. It was on this date in 1967, the first Nathan's hot dog eating contest was held.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they chose June 30th because they said it was the 100th anniversary of the invention of the hot dog.
In 1967.
Yes. Although, no. That's the winner of the first ever Nathan's hot dog eating contest was a dude named Walter Paul.
Okay, before you tell me.
Yeah.
Okay, because they still do that to this day, and they do it on the 4th of July,
it's
right?
Now a 4th of July thing, yes.
And, boy.
I think they moved it to the 4th in the early 70s.
And now it would take, oh boy, how many hot dogs does he eat now? Like 70 or something?
Yeah, Joey Jaws Chestnut is the defending champion. Last year he ate 75 hot dogs.
Okay, 75 hot dogs.
Yes.
But this would have been the first one.
So 1967.
1967, mm-hmm. Then the winning number, does it give the winning number?
It does.
Okay, I'm guessing, I'm going to say 40 hot dogs.
See, that's, I like what you're doing there. The problem with this is, it used to be a different contest.
No buns?
It used to be, how many hot dogs can you eat in an hour?
Oh, okay.
It was more of an endurance thing.
And now they do, what do they give them, 5 minutes?
I think that's right. Yeah, how fast are they doing it? 75 hot dogs. That was last year. Joey Chestnut. You get 10 minutes.
Oh, they do 10 minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
10 minutes. Joey Chestnut won last year, and Mika Sudo. Let's see. They've both won, by the way. They won in 2020. They both won in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016. We haven't had a different Mika won in 2015, 2014. We haven't had a different men's champion since Matt Stoney won it back in 2015. At the time, he dethroned Joey Chestnut, who had won the previous 8 years.
Who did that?
The guy's name was Matt Stoney.
Matt, that's right.
So yeah, Joey Chestnut has been an absolute dominator in this, taking over, of course, from
Takeru
Kobayashi. Exactly.
Who is banned from doing this sort of thing, isn't he?
Yeah, that got weird. He won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest 6 times. And really, I don't think I really ever paid attention to it
kind of
until
it
Kobayashi
yeah.
was going after it. He ate 110 bunless hot dogs in 10 minutes at the New York State Fair. Like, now he just goes and...
And he just did that on his own. It wasn't even a contest. He was just sitting on a bench.
In 2010, he announced he was not going to compete in the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating competition. And that was because the Major League Eating Association wanted him to sign an exclusive contract.
Ah.
They didn't want him competing in contests that's not sanctioned by Major League Eating.
Gotcha. And he wanted to go rogue.
He shows up. He was in attendance at the hot dog eating contest, watching from the crowd, wearing a black T-shirt that said "Free Kobe." He mingled with the crowd and ended up getting arrested.
So he hasn't competed since 2010?
Not at Nathan's.
Huh.
Yeah, he was barred because of a contract dispute. Be nice to see him come back. Because I don't feel like we're getting the best against the best. Is there an asterisk by Joey Chestnut's name? There should be. The question that you asked was, how many hot dogs did Walter Paul, the 400-pound, 32-year-old truck driver, eat on this date in 1967
again,
when this whole thing got started? Yeah, He ate 127 hot dogs in an hour.
Mm.
So from 1967, 127 hot dogs in an hour. Now in 10 minutes, they're eating 75 hot dogs. In 10 minutes, yeah. So what if you were to give Joey Chestnut an hour? That's a different game, isn't it?
500 hot dogs.
You couldn't eat 500.
You ridiculous man.
You can't eat all those hot dogs. Oh, he's so ridiculous. You hear me, you ridiculous man? Yeah, the story that they tell is that the hot dog eating contest started in 1916 and that there were four immigrants who argued over who was the most patriotic, so they started a hot dog eating contest. That's all legend. That's all a story to make it, you know, tie it into the 4th of July.
Those were some heady days there with that first hot dog contest, right in the middle of the summer of love. And there you are, eating Frankfurters.
One account of the first ever hot dog eating contest at Nathan's has Jimmy Durante competing in the first ever inaugural
ha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Well, it was a bunch of immigrants, and Jimmy Durante competed in it. The problem with that is Jimmy Durante wasn't an immigrant. He was born here. Yeah.
But somehow they still put him in the celebrity immigrant category.
They admitted that this whole thing was a fabrication. And yeah, the hot dog eating contest began in the late 60s, early 70s as part of a way to drum up publicity. They used to do it on...
I'm gonna eat some hot dogs. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
They used to do it on Memorial Day, and then they used to do it on Labor Day as well, but now it's just a 4th of July situation.
How many hot dogs could you eat in an hour?
In an hour? Five.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be sick for a day.
You'd be ruined for the rest of the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah. I mean, how about you? How many hot dogs?
Probably no more than that.
I think I could eat five hot dogs in an hour.
We're just talking about a simple hot dog and a simple bun.
Well, and mustard.
I don't know that they're not allowed to put condiments on it.
Well, why would you? You're trying to, it's just taking up space.
Why are you putting so much chili and slaw on these things?
Well,
that's gotta, because I like them that way.
They had William the Refrigerator Perry one year show up for the Nathan's hot dog event. Do you remember this?
Mm.
William the Refrigerator Perry, and there was outrage in the circuit because it's like, he's not a competitive eater. You just have him here because he's famous. He did win a qualifier, but there was some argument that the qualifier was rigged. And then when William the Refrigerator Perry, who may be large, but he's no dumb cookie, when he showed up for the Nathan's hot dog eating contest back in 2003, you get 10 minutes. Fridge ate four and stopped after 5 minutes.
Well, he's no dumb cookie.
I'm not doing
this. This is four. Four is what I can do.
That's enough.
That's plenty.
He tapped out. You get 10 minutes. He tapped out after 5 minutes after eating four.
I'm not going to need dinner.
And ever since then, they've stopped inviting celebrities to partake in the Nathan's hot dog. Well, yeah, that'll be on the ESPN for your 4th of July weekend, right? Or it's always on the actual Independence Day.
Like it.
Can you watch it? Because I sometimes have trouble watching it.
It's gross.
Yeah. And I don't know that I'd want to be there. Well, watching it on TV is nauseating enough. Being there.
I wouldn't want to be in the front row, that's for sure.
No. The winner gets a international bejeweled mustard yellow belt. The belt said to be of unknown age and value.
Mm-hmm. Meaning?
It's rhinestones.
Meaning we just got it.
Well, I'd like to see somebody else win this year because it's getting old. Anybody but Joey Chestnut and Mika Sudu would be great. Contest was held on this date, 1967. The prize that year was a trophy proclaiming Walter the world's champion hot dog eater. consumed 127 hot dogs over the period of an 1 hour flat. The next time they did the contest would be 1972. So they did it in 67. They didn't do it then for another 5 years. And then they gave you like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but they were going up against the Olympics at that time. They're all gone.
I'm looking here at the records. So Joey Chestnut just did, what, last year he did 75, which is the new world record. In 1985, Oscar Rodriguez was your winner. They gave him 12 minutes. Oscar Rodriguez ate 11 and three quarters hot dogs.
Oh, boy. So we're talking about a completely different universe.
Right? 1981, the winner, Thomas DeBerry, 11 hot dogs. That year, he was said to eat the 11 hot dogs and then rush off with his family to attend a barbecue. I got to get out of here. I got a barbecue I got to go.
Need a little change of pace.
Mix it up a little bit. Maybe get some fruit in me.
Nice salad.
Number two.
As long as we're talking about American traditions like the hot dog eating contest that happens every 4th of July, I had a thought last night, and it consumed me all night long to the point where I woke up still thinking about it. I awoke in the middle of the night with uneasy dreams because I couldn't stop thinking about this. And it could be that it's a question that I ask that's easily answered. I'm hoping that's the case. Either you can steer me in the right direction, or we can get texts always at 470-23-NACHO. Watching the ball game last night, White Sox versus the Minnesota Twins, and I'm thinking about Take Me Out to the Ball Game, the song that you sing at ball games, at the River Bandits, or Cubs, Sox, doesn't matter where you're going. They sing that in the seventh inning stretch. And the lyrics to the song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Take Me Out with the Crowd, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack, I Don't Care If I Ever Get Back. And this is what occurred to me last night, and you've maybe everybody's already figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack. Peanuts are in Cracker Jack.
It's true.
So you want Cracker Jack that has peanuts and an additional
peanuts? Yeah, I want a bag of peanuts. I want a bag of peanuts on my own here, and then I also want a box of Cracker Jack.
Or do they think Cracker Jack is peanuts and Cracker Jack? Like, is Cracker Jack what they used to call caramel corn? So Cracker Jack is caramel cone and caramel corn and peanuts. Mm-hmm. That's the recipe.
There's some peanuts in there.
A lot of peanuts in there. When's the last time you had a box of Cracker Jack?
Probably.
And you used to make your living at the ballpark, so I just assume that's all you people eat.
I know that I had a box at my grandmother's trailer. That would have been 1969.
Okay, so it's been a while.
I mean, I probably have had it since then, but I remember that.
69, dude!
That one almost got away from us. Sorry.
Yeah, watching probably Jeopardy with, was it Art Fleming?
Yeah, he would have been your host.
Yeah, I would have been the host back then.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game is, by the way, the chorus. There are lyrics that that are it actually starts, Katie Casey was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad, just to root for the hometown crew, every Sioux, Katie Blue. And on a Saturday, her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show, but Miss Kate said, no, I'll tell you what you can do.
Take me
out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd. So yeah, this is about a woman who just would much rather watch baseball than doing anything else. The song is in the public domain. There's more lyrics. Katie Casey saw all the games, knew the players by their first names, told the umpire he was wrong all along, good and strong. When the score was just 2-2, Katie Casey knew what to do just to cheer up the boys she knew. She made the gang sing this song. take me out to the ball game. But you want peanuts and Cracker Jack. You're not saying just Cracker Jack. You're saying...
a bag of peanuts. I want a bag of peanuts.
See, that's how I've always understood the song to be, but that's a lot of peanuts.
I like peanuts.
What are you, an elephant? The more you eat, the registered trademark, by the way, for Cracker Jack is the more you eat, the more you want. Used to like getting the box of Cracker Jack for the prize. Do they still have prizes, or is it like an app you got to download nowadays?
Yeah, scan this for your prize.
Oh, look, I got a tattoo. This is going to be fantastic. Seemed like more often
it's a permanent tattoo. Somehow, Cracker Jack is putting permanent Cracker Jack tattoos in their box.
Prizes began showing up in Cracker Jack in 1912. 1914, they put baseball cards in the Cracker Jacks. Wow. And then there were, I seem to remember, I always got the magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, like, this is...
Let's take a look at this peanut.
I don't know. What's the difference between Cracker Jack and Crunch and Munch? Isn't Crunch and Munch basically the same thing? Crunch and Munch has different flavors, but Crunch and Munch is caramel popcorn with peanuts, as is Fiddle Faddle. Can you still get Fiddle Faddle? It's popcorn with peanuts. So your understanding is my understanding that this is someone who wants two different peanut treats. It's not peanuts and Cracker Jack isn't just how they said Cracker Jack back in the old days.
I suppose it could be.
Number three.
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 We've talked about world records and how some of them seem easier to break than others.
Uh-huh.
Guy just broke a world record for stacking M&Ms on top of one another.
Mm.
He recently decided to take on the world record for stacking M&Ms. It took him a couple of hours, but he did it. Will Cutbill decided to attempt the world record for stacking M&Ms back in January. He says, I was really determined to beat it. I sat there for 2 to 3 hours. What would you assume the record is for taking M&Ms and stacking them one on top of another? Because there is a new world record for this. What do you think the old world record was? That this was something that somebody thought, yeah, I could do that.
100?
The previous world record was 4.
Okay.
Four. This guy says he was eating a bag of M&Ms back in January when we were still all under lockdown and nothing else to do.
Nowhere near 100, huh?
The idea came to him, why don't I stack these M&Ms? He says, I started thinking, I wonder if there's a world record for this. I looked it up online and found the record was 4. I was really determined to beat it, so I sat there for 2 to 3 hours. He almost broke the world record a few times when he managed to get 4. Consider that. You were at 4, and it's like, well, I've tied the world record. Can I do this? The tower kept collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
He finally got to the 5th M&M after hours of recording. And when he breaks the record, he's yelling, 5 M&Ms, I've done it. He said he thought about trying to stack 6, but instead he sent video.
Let's just get proof of this.
To Guinness World Records to make sure that there was some sort of certification for this. They don't stack on top of each other because an M&M is in the shape of what they call an ellipsoid.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stack 6 M&Ms on top of one another, you will have this guy's record.
100 would not be a very good guess.
Well, that would be outstanding if you could make it happen. I don't know what I think I would have guessed like 20. 100 would be very, very impressive considering that.
Well, if you had super glue.
Well, that's not stacking, though. Is there a Guinness
Book of World Records? If someone's got 100 and then they just take it and walk away with it.
It's not as impressive.
Like a stick.
Yeah.
Not as impressive, is it?
I got an M&M cane.
Uh-huh.
What?
I'll smack you with my M&M cane.
Well, now I think this is my cause. I could do six.
I don't think you can.
This guy, it only took him a couple of hours. If I spend the rest of the summer working on this, I think I can make
it. Just think about it, though. If you do it,
yeah,
it can be part of your Christmas card this year.
That's what I got done.
Uh-huh. Somehow I stayed alive.
Managed to live.
Yeah,
another year.
I didn't succumb to the virus.
Uh-huh.
And I did this.
That guy in Idaho that's always breaking Guinness Book of World Records.
Boy, you would think he would get a hold of this. And
David Rush.
He would give it more than 2 or 3 hours.
Right.
That guy.
David Rush has broken over 150 Guinness World Records. He's doing this, he says, to promote STEM education. And he's just broken another world record, this time for wrapping his wife in plastic wrap.
Well, that doesn't sound healthy.
1 minute and 2.44 seconds. He wrapped his wife's body in plastic wrap. This happened after another couple broke their previous record of doing it in 1 minute and 29 seconds.
See, now, if I was Guinness, it's like, that's not anything we're interested in.
I would say...
No.
If I were Guinness, I would say you can have 10 world records and then you're done. This guy just keeps coming back to do more of this.
All right, folks. This is what fantasies are made of. Beautiful woman. It's a ran wrap. And she's breaking a world record for me.
I'm starting at the ground.
2 feet, 3 feet, four
so
feet,
he's
five
measuring
feet, five
her.
Inches.
You're going to get...
The kids are interested.
All right. Here
but,
we go.
But not super
hey there,
interested.
Folks. It's David Rush back with this week's Guinness World Record attempt, reclaiming a record my wife and I broke back 2 years ago for the fastest time to wrap someone in cling wrap. My wife's just saying last time she went through this 12 times. This time, between all the practices and attempts, it was only like a dozen times.
Would you put up with this?
No.
Would you put up with a spouse that was always trying to break world records and you had to be part of it? And you're doing practices? God bless the two of them. I'm sure they'll be together forever, but I wouldn't put up with this. If my wife was always trying to wrap me in things for a Guinness Book of World Records...
You'll find me downstairs, away from you.
That might be fun for an afternoon.
Yeah. Just...
They're letting this guy in the book too many times. When you have 150, over 150 Guinness Book of World Records, it's enough. You know, David, other people would like to have some records.
How does this guy not have his own reality show?
Oh, I'm sure he would do it. He's a speaker, author, performer, project manager, and Guinness World Record breaker, also a STEM advocate. How does wrapping your wife in plastic wrap promote STEM? Other records he's done this summer, earlier this month, 67 behind-the-back frisbee catches in a minute. Also cutting grapes with a samurai sword.
Again, that's another record. If I'm the Guinness people, no.
We're not doing
no.
this. What is a Guinness World Record that makes sense to you? Like... I could see why there is this record in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Like maybe, okay, the person who can juggle the most juggling pins.
Okay.
Something like that.
I would say like fastest Rubik's Cube that I get.
Fastest man on earth. Fastest 100 meters.
Right.
Tallest person ever.
That's not bad.
Those sort of things?
Yes.
But a samurai sword and grapes? No. I'm not interested in your weird little activities. maybe like the fastest typist?
I'm looking here at the GuinnessWorldRecords.com, and some of the records are strange. For instance, they have Robert Wadlow, the tallest man ever.
8'10"
yes.
From Alton, Illinois.
Right. And then they have the Guinness Book of World Records, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin for being the first men on the moon.
Yeah, we get it. It doesn't need to be mentioned.
Yes.
But that's not even really a world. I mean, that's just never going to get broke. That's not a world record.
You can't break the world record for being first.
No.
Like they have Roger Bannister here for the first sub 4 minute mile.
He does not hold the record for the mile.
No, but he holds the world record for being sub 4 minutes.
But that's not a world record. You were just the first one to do it. Your record has been broken since then.
Here's one. Simone Biles, most medals won at the World Artistic Gymnastics Championships. Right, that's the record for those championships.
Yeah, that right.
They have their own record.
Yeah.
You need to be.
You don't need to glom on.
You're Guinness, for crying out loud. Have some respect for yourself. You're just taking other people's records now. Most medals won at the World Artistic Gymnastics Championships. Right, that's their record.
That's their work.
Yeah, you're signing your name.
You're just basically signing your name. What is this, the Drudge Report? No, you're Guinness.
I guess it makes sense why they have this maniac doing 150 things for him in Idaho, because they'll just take anything.
I thought you used to have a little respect for yourself,
yeah.
Guinness.
Yeah, back when it was like heaviest twins on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's when things made more sense. This is nonsense.
And even that is a little questionable. Because they weren't the heaviest twins on motorcycles. They were just the heaviest twins, right? It's just it just happens that they were on mini bikes. This is the picture. It didn't have anything to do with the bike. It was just the heaviest twins, right?
The indignity of putting the Maguire twins on mini bikes.
Right. Well, like, that was probably their idea. How do we show off that they're big?
So they were just the world's heaviest twins.
Right. The mini bike had nothing to do with it.
In my head, because that was always like the first book I'd go to at the library when I was a kid was the Guinness Book of World Records.
Sure.
To see the Maguire twins.
Yeah.
But in my head, they had the record for being the biggest fatzos on bikes.
No, that wasn't it. No, that wasn't it. It was just... we're going to crush a couple of mini bikes by getting on them.
They were the Maguire twins, although they were born the McGrary twins. Billy died July 14th, 1979. You want to know what killed him?
His
motorcycle accident!
Oh, no. I was going to say his heart exploded.
You would think. Billy died at the age of 32. Motorcycle accident in Niagara Falls. He was on his way to a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum.
Wait a minute. Motorcycle at Niagara Falls. Did he drive over?
That would be incredible.
There was no GPS then.
We can put him on a tightrope. The other twin, Benny, lived for 21 more years, died at the age of 54 in 2001 of heart failure.
Did you remember the Ripley's Believe It or Not program?
Oh, I love that show.
Jack Palance? Jack Palance,
and his hot daughter? Yes.
Is that his daughter?
I hope it was his daughter.
I don't think it was.
Was that his wife?
No, it wasn't his wife either.
No, that was his daughter, like Bonnie or something, right?
I don't think so. I think that was...
My hot daughter is here to help me, believe it or not. That was his daughter.
Was it? I thought it was just an actress.
No. No, that was... They were related. They had the same name, right?
They did?
Am I wrong? Jack Palance... With his daughter, Holly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was his daughter.
I thought she was... Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah. And I think that they ended up firing her and replacing her with Marie Osmond at some point.
Oh, brother.
You're
not my daughter.
I can't do this with you anymore. Believe it or not. So, yeah, they didn't have the record for being the biggest fatsos on bikes. That doesn't make any sense.
No. No, the mini bikes had nothing to do with it. Although it was their downfall.
They were buried side by side in a graveyard. Their grave is marked by a 13-foot-wide granite headstone, believed to be the largest headstone in the world.
Another record.
Now, see,
They bury him with the mini bikes?
The gravestone is inscribed with two Honda motorbikes and the words world's largest twins. I'd like to think that they're on the bikes down there, though.
Yeah.
Like in the.
Why not?
Just have them buried on the bicycles. The motorcycles. Oh, that's great.
Number four.
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 Treasure hunters are suing the FBI because they say they told the FBI about this treasure and then the FBI stole it. Here's the story. The legend. The year is 1863, and Union Lieutenant Castleton and his men are lost. They were on a mission for the Union, transporting a bunch of gold bars. The gold bars were hidden in false bottom wagons. They were taking the gold from Wheeling, West Virginia, to the mint in Philadelphia. They had a local guide help them through the hills.
Hello, I'll be your local guide.
They were going around in circles, and the guide took off with two of the horses. That's
a bad guide.
That's when the
we are not using that service ever again.
You're getting a bad Yelp review.
Uh-huh.
Castleton started to get sick. They decided to separate. A small party would go for help, while Castleton and his sergeant Mike O'Rourke would stay behind with all of the gold.
He got and it started getting sick. How tight were these circles? They're just spinning around.
I was back here working on my laptop. I think I got wagon sick. This isn't great.
Getting wagon sickness.
So the idea is that you guys go get help and we'll stay behind with the gold. Well, then the gold and the two dudes were never seen again. Lieutenant Castleton and Sergeant O'Rourke stayed behind with the gold and were never seen again. That's the story these treasure hunters told a special agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation named Jacob B. Archer. This is all according to court records that have just recently been released. The FBI very interested, if this story is true, in finding the gold. Because, well, it would be like $1 billion worth of gold. Many, 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 many millions, possibly $1 million worth of gold.
Wow.
Yeah. So they gathered evidence on where the gold may have been stashed. The legend was that the gold was stashed somewhere in Elk County in a cave.
Somewhere in an elk.
Elk makes a lousy hiding place. The gold was somewhere in a cave on state-owned land. So then there was this battle between the state and the feds. Like, who's going to get this Union gold first? A federal warrant is issued to go and get the gold. The warrant application has been released after a petition by the Associated Press and the Philadelphia Inquirer. This story, which is now 158 years old, has been told in that part of our country for years, and these two treasure hunters, a father and son duo, Dennis and Kem Parada, saying that they got involved with the FBI, and then the FBI says, no, there was no gold, there was never gold. This is all
nothing
nonsense.
To see.
And so now they're suing the FBI saying, or did you take the gold? For years, the FBI declined to say what they were looking for in the cave. But now it's saying that they searched the cave all over, and the search came up empty. Which is, I guess, what you would say if you found Union gold. Is it something where they're keeping the gold because it's somehow a national security measure? 2018, this father-son treasure hunting duo told the FBI that they heard these rumors about the hidden gold. The story of this Lieutenant Castleton and how this alleged gold got there is from a story called The Lost Gold Ingot Treasure, which was found in the Army Heritage and Education Center at the Military History Institute in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The story was only written down for the very first time at the centennial anniversary of the Civil War. So this is a story somebody came up with in the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
Now, it could just be that it was oral tradition and then it was written down, but this cave was first discovered in the 70s.
We have
1974.
Something of a, we have something of an oral tradition here in Elk County.
Well, yeah.
Say no more.
And it's golden. Believe me.
And it is pure gold.
You know what you're doing? Solid gold. Gold of the quantity that the Union is, according to this story, hid in the cave, could be worth hundreds of millions, perhaps even $1 billion. And this father and son are saying that they're entitled to a finder's fee of up to 40%.
If anybody finds it.
Right.
We don't have to find it.
Right.
But.
Well, they're saying they're the ones that kind of showed the FBI where the cave was.
Yeah.
So if the FBI went in the cave, if the FBI sealed up the cave and said this is now a federal investigation, and then they found the gold, what these treasure hunters are saying is, hey, if you found the gold, we're entitled to a finder's fee. Again.
And now.
Up to 40% of what could be $1 billion. But they're not, you know, the FBI is saying there was nothing in the cave. We spent a lot of time looking in the cave for nothing.
And now Elk County, the solid gold dancers.
And now Marilyn McCoo. The FBI got a warrant to go take a look at this cave. And there was it says here, an oral agreement between the treasure hunters and the FBI. They got to observe a dig in March back in 2018. But when they got there, they were confined to their cars away from the dig site.
Just stay in your car.
And they were told that the workers were going to stop hours earlier than expected.
Yeah, we'll tell you what we find.
Now, that night in 2018, people in the neighborhood there say they saw a bunch of bright lights, and they heard the noises from a backhoe and a jackhammer. Now, the judge that gave the FBI the warrant to go digging around there said they had to stop digging at 10 p.m. Witnesses say they also saw armored vehicles and a convoy of black SUVs. The next day, unaware of the neighbors' reports, the treasure hunters were again by the FBI confined to their cars. FBI agents then marched them to the excavation site and showed them an empty pit.
There, see?
Say there.
Told you. It's a hole in the ground.
One of the treasure hunters says he believes the FBI found the gold and decided to keep it secret as a matter of national security, but the FBI maintains nothing was found at the site. So now these two have got an attorney who wants the FBI to release a bunch of documents and video footage of the dig. We don't want you watching the dig. Stay in your cars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We left here with a bunch of stuff in the middle of the night. We can show you now that there was nothing here.
In video form.
Yeah, right. Well, it's by the way, the father and son treasure keeper, they call themselves the name of their outfit, mm-hmm. the two-man outfit, mm-hmm. father and son treasure keepers. They call themselves finders keepers. But you didn't find anything. You got the FBI to go and find it. You probably should have kept your mouth shut and just went digging yourself. But, of course, the resources that you need to find wherever there's gold may or may not have been hidden, if it was even a real thing. This could just be a story that was a whole lot about nothing.
I bet finders keepers, they've got a couple metal detectors in the back of their truck.
You know they do.
Uh-huh.
But you really need... There were clues that were used. When Dennis first discovered the cave in 1974, he got permission from the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources to go looking around the cave. They found what they called a turtle-shaped cave, which initial tests indicated had man-made walls and a large quantity of metal on either side. Then they were allowed to do a little bit of drilling. And one colleague said he saw a flash of gold and what appeared to be gold dust on the drill bit. That was in 1974. There was something large and metal a few feet underneath them in the cave, they said.
Can't you imagine that when they were told they have to stay in their vehicle,
yeah.
that they were just sitting in their vehicle, both of them with their arms crossed like this, and just this just this sour look on their face.
Well,
like,
yeah. Ooh. Yeah. There's this whole other part of the story where it gets involved with something called the Knights of the Golden Circle.
Okay.
Which was a secret society formed in 1854.
Okay, enough said.
And the idea was that the South was going to merge with Mexico, South America, and the Caribbean to have this massive pro-slavery nation. And they used a secret code. And that code somehow is...
What is this, some sort of Mexico?
Right, that this is all... Castleton and O'Rourke means castle and rook, that they were members of some sort of chess-playing Confederate society, hell-bent on... I don't know why they would have Union Gold.
Our golden circle is looking for an anchorman.
Number five!
Couple of stories here from the Am I in the Wrong Reddit, the subreddit, Am I the a-hole here? People wondering, and more often than not, especially in the summertime, these are wedding stories. Although the wedding stories today are a little bit different than something that happens at the wedding. Let's just get right into these. People sharing with complete strangers the stories of their lives and wondering if somehow they've made a mistake, if they've treated people in a way that's where they owe an apology. Here it starts. It says, my family has a wedding coming up next month. Knowing I would be in the wedding, I went to book my hotel room as soon as I knew the date, about 6 months ago. I was shocked to see that all the nicer hotels in the area were going for $600 a night.
Oh, boy.
Which is too much.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm in the wedding and I'm going to be staying multiple nights. I ended up just getting a room at an okay hotel near the venue. And for just $10 more a night, at $150, I got an upgraded corner room. Single room, but with a larger pull-out couch. I told my family about the hotel situation, and I told them they should book now, especially since they would be charged until check-in, or they would not be charged until check-in, and could cancel up to the day before check-in.
Now, isn't that typically the sort of thing that's kind of done for you if you're part of a wedding party? That's one of the things that gets kind of done for you, isn't it? That this is the hotel that, you know, we have a bunch of stuff blocked off.
Yeah.
Well, for the closest people.
Yeah. Well, maybe they had a bunch of rooms blocked up, but it was $600 a night.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Well, okay. I gotcha.
Right?
That could be.
So they're on top of it. They're in the wedding, and the family is going to come to this wedding, and they're saying, listen, rooms are tough. At the time, my family made fun of me for staying at a budget hotel.
Uh-huh.
Basically saying they wouldn't be caught dead in a place like that.
Okay.
And if it's their first hotel stay since COVID, they want to make sure they stay somewhere nicer. A few months go by and the bride messages me to make sure I booked a room because the hotel prices are starting to tick up. The $600 a night hotels are now $800 a night.
Yeah.
And the budget hotel is now $200 a night.
Mm-hmm.
I tell her I'm good, but I remind my family, you guys better book ASAP. Well, now it's a month before the wedding. No one in my family has booked a room.
Uh-uh.
They thought the prices would come down as the date got closer. And now the budget hotel is fully booked.
Sure.
And the only hotels within 30 minutes are $1,000 a night. Now they want to stay in my room with my husband and me. It would be my parents, sister, brother, and his girlfriend. They want to bring air mattresses. I mean, technically we could fit, but I feel it's like they never plan ahead, and I'm always the one going out of my way to solve their problems.
Yep.
Plus, my husband and I haven't taken any time off since our wedding in 2019, and since we're saving for a house, I don't see us having another trip anytime soon.
Yeah.
I told my family this, and now they think I'm too good for them. I just want to spend some quality time with my husband. And their lack of planning shouldn't derail my weekend. So am I the jerk here?
No, you're not. And you guys didn't want the budget hotel before.
Right. Now it's air mattress time.
My suggestion is you guys are going to need to rent an RV.
Yeah.
And there you go.
That's not bad. Although I don't know if you're going to get an RV a month out.
Well, you might not.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't find, what's the price on rental cars these days? Through the roof, right?
It is.
So what would an RV be like?
Prohibitively expensive.
Yeah. You might be better off buying the RV.
Here's an additional wedding story. And normally these wedding stories are, you know, problematic behavior at the reception. This is another one that's slightly different. It says, my boyfriend of 4 years, Jack, has a best friend. We'll call him Jimmy. They've been friends since kindergarten. Jimmy is getting married tomorrow. We've known this for a year. Jack has asked me at least 6 times what day the wedding is on. I've had to remind him that he needed to buy clothes. He's not in the wedding party for some reason. I had to remind him to make a hotel reservation. I had to remind him to take time off work. I've also been reminding him periodically to go to Jimmy's wedding registry and buy a gift.
Uh-huh.
The last time I told Jack, hey, you should check the registry out, he called me a nag. And he told me I need to stop acting like his mom. He would do things on his own time. What? So I'm like, okay.
Why do you keep asking me which day of the week it's going to be? It's a wedding. Saturday. It's going to be Saturday, okay?
Well, this was a month ago. I never said anything again.
Yeah, right.
He still doesn't have clothes for the wedding. He didn't request the day off when I told him to. And now he just has to call out of work and risk getting written up. Before I came to bed, Jack was freaking out to me and telling me Jimmy's going to hate him because all the wedding registry stuff has been purchased except for a couple of dumb little things. But as his best friend, he'll be expecting something better than the leftovers. He's now upset about missing work without notice.
Yeah.
And he has to find time to get to the mall to buy clothes tomorrow before we leave and pull cash out for a cash gift before 10 a.m. so we can get to the venue. It's a good thing I'm the one that made the hotel reservation. And now Jack is asking why I didn't remind him of these things last week. I said, it's because you called me a nag. And he says, well, now you're being petty. What do you guys think?
I think you know what we think.
Yeah, you gotta get rid of this guy.
I'd suffocate him in the middle of the night.
Don't you think it's a red flag that it's your best friend and he's not in your wedding party? That's strange, right? You've been best friends since kindergarten?
Have you, though? Well, have you been?
Is that what you think? Because he doesn't seem to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know that you're his best friend anymore. or have been.
No.
It might not be necessary for you to even go to the wedding.
He's counting on you to flake, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And then there's this. Now, this isn't a wedding story, but this one's my favorite of the three. My husband and I recently invited 8 friends. It's a man and woman. They're both 30 years old, all right? My husband and I recently invited 8 friends for lunch, and we were asked if we could also include a new couple, Doug and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
We've never met them, but everybody who was invited knows this couple. So we said, sure. At one point during the lunch, Sasha needed to use the restroom. I told her to use the master since the other bathroom was occupied. I was helping my husband finish with food when Sasha came out of the master bawling and holding something in her hand.
Oh, no.
At first, I assumed she hurt herself.
Yeah.
But she said something to Doug that caused him to drop to his knees, cry, and start kissing her stomach. All of our friends began screaming, jumping, and crying. Oh, it was insane. Finally, Sasha tells my husband that she's pregnant. Of course, we congratulate both she and Doug and gave them a bag for the test. They wanted to put it in like a Ziploc bag.
Sure.
I will admit, I did find it odd that she brought a pregnancy test and took it at a complete stranger's house. But I didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
Once everyone sat down to eat, Sasha said, oh, I hope you don't mind that I used one of your pregnancy tests.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw them and I had to. And I was
confused. You're snooping?
I was confused.
What do you mean, my?
And I responded, I don't have pregnancy tests. Sasha says, yeah, in your drawer. I asked Sasha, do you mean the blue box in the back of my lower left drawer that was closed? She seemed to realize that I was pointing out that she basically snooped.
Yeah.
And sheepishly said that, you know, the box for pregnancy tests. And I said, Sasha.
What was that? What did you use?
That's called Pregmate, and that's an ovulation test. I don't have any pregnancy tests. Did you take an ovulation test? So Doug freaks out at me and starts saying, listen, my wife's not an idiot. She can read a box.
Oh, I don't think she can.
He insisted that Sasha get the test out to show me that I'm wrong. Sasha refused, saying she didn't need to prove anything to a complete stranger, and insisted that they leave immediately.
I think that's a good idea.
Now, one of the couples thought that Doug and Sasha were acting ridiculous, but the other three couples thought that I should have pulled her aside to discuss my concerns privately, and that I was being an a-hole for saying something in front of everybody. Honestly, this whole situation caught me off guard, and everything happened so quickly. The whole thing was bizarre and confusing.
In just a matter of seconds.
I didn't have time to put the pieces together mentally before I asked about the ovulation test. Uh-huh. Also, I found out later through one of our friends that Sasha did, in fact, take one of my ovulation tests, and she is not pregnant.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is.
Yeah. I would have kicked her out for going through my stuff.
Flew out of control in no time.
Right? What are you doing going through my stuff? I let you use my master bathroom. You don't need to be digging around in the drawers. And then for the Doug to say, my husband, my wife's not an idiot. She can read a box.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, your wife is an idiot. And yeah.
Don't ever come back to my house. And you guys don't ever invite anybody new again.
There are situations where I think women are allowed to rifle through if they need something. You know what I'm talking about. Like, that would be one situation where I think everybody would say, well, that's cool. But this is not that situation. The situation I'm thinking about would be something where you would know quite concretely that you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
Right? If that were to be something out of nowhere and you weren't prepared for it, then I could get that. Like, that makes sense.
But where did she find this box again?
In the drawers of the bathroom, the master bathroom.
So it was at least it was in the bathroom. She wasn't going through, like, drawers in the bedroom.
No, but it would make sense that you would keep an ovulation cat in the master, you know.
I get it.
Bathroom. Wait a minute. Are you talking about what was in my drawer? Honey, that's an ovulation kit. That's not a pregnancy test. Oh, I'm so happy we're pregnant. No, you're not. You know, you handled that poorly.
No, one's having a baby.
It sounds like you need to get a whole bunch of new friends, too.
Mm-hmm.
If three out of the four couples were telling you that you're the jerk here.
You know what I would do? I would just move. Find a new city and just start start again.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Thanks for having on the Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening to it, and hopefully you've subscribed to it, so that's cool. If you get a chance, leave a review of it on iTunes or wherever you're getting your podcasts. Thanks for all of your support. Thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois, too, for making it possible.
Yeah, they are the sponsor of the podcast. They've got two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. The recreational waiting lists are available for both locations. You can reserve your time going to the website. That's ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you got to do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.